So, Jeff, I have a question. What is sitting on your desk right now?
So I have an iPhone 10.
Oh, come on. Let's you know what I mean. You know what I'm talking about here.
I have a new 12.9 inch iPad Pro on my desk right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what hashtag are we using for that?
Chris was right.
Yes, I was.
Correct?
Yes, because give us the lowdown. What's going on here?
How can I say this? I am back to using only my iPad.
I'm sorry. It's just so funny.
I'm glad you find amusing.
It is kind of amusing. I mean, you and I have been talking for a little while now, and I kept telling you, hey, I know you have the 10.5-inch iPad Pro, and you like that one, but everything you tell me you don't like about the iPad, I think the 12.9 fixes. And I mean, a majority of the stuff, I'm sure there's still some other little complaints here and there that we're actually going to address later on in the show, but but for the most part, how are you liking it? Do you feel like it's like the device for you?
Yeah, no, I feel like I was thinking about this the other day. I'm not doing this, but like I was thinking of like, man, I wish I kept the name Tablet Habit, because now it makes way more sense than Rocket Panda.
I'm sorry, but Jeffrey.
I know. I halfway thought of just like, what if I had them both?
You don't
like to get.
You don't need them both. You don't need them both. It's just, they don't need to go together. You don't have to call it Rocket Panda Tablet Habit or Tablet Habit Panda. Yeah, no, it's fine. No more changing. You made me. Made me promise to force you not to change stuff anymore anymore. So,
I know, Dad. I know.
Yes. So, anyways, what was the thing that made you go get this?
There was a great deal on it. I got this essentially for half off. So it goes around for $999 right now, and I got it for $500. Because it was an open box, and B, I sold my iPad to like trade it in with Best Buy. So I got it for $500 it's a 64 gigabyte, which sounds like I should have gotten a bigger one, but I did the math on my old iPad and my iPhone, and if I put both of the storages together, it doesn't even equate to 64 gigabytes, and like that's without me even like worrying about storage space. So I'm not too worried about the storage size of this iPad. Maybe if I want to like have it be like quote unquote future proof, then maybe I would have gotten the bigger one. But this is an open box. It's kind of one of those things where it's only available in store. I have to go get it, and this is the one that I wanted. So I managed to get it for like half off. I got the smart keyboard with it. But to answer your question of like why I decided to get it, was that the bigger screen I felt like would be the catalyst of like me staying on the iPad, because working on the 10.5, especially with like the smart keyboard or anything, it made me feel like I'm kind of like working in a constrained environment. Mm-hmm. And the keyboard was too small for my liking. I have big hands. The screen kept getting too tiny for me. I kept like going to my Mac, but not for the reasons that like most people go to a Mac, is that like I have things I can do, I can't do on my iPad that I have to do on my Mac. I have things I can do on both my iPad and my Mac, but I prefer to use the Mac because it has a full size keyboard and a full size screen. But now that that variable is kind of out of the question, where I have a full size keyboard and a full size screen with this new iPad, it now is just a matter of taste. And I've always said that like iPad is where I feel most comfortable, but I was uncomfortable with the screen size. So I got the 12 because I had a great deal on it. And I love every moment I'm using this thing, because I truly remember how much I loved iOS compared to macOS. And it just makes sense to me. And being able to have two full-size iPad apps on side-by-side split view and have a full-size keyboard where, like, the backslash isn't half a key or, you know, whatever, I can actually, like, use my entire hand and do touch typing without having to worry about things. It works really, really great, and I'm very happy with it. And, I think I'm going a little overboard here, but, like, Man, I forgot how much I enjoyed using the iPad and like working with drafts and shortcuts and everything else that goes along with using the iPad. Like it's been really fun to kind of reacquaint myself with that area of the things that bring me delight, you know?
Yeah. No, totally. Absolutely. I think it's you and I talking off air. I knew the 12.9 inch model would be the right one for you. And I knew you would be happy with it. The stuff you were telling me that you were like, okay, I can't, I feel like the iPad's too cramped and stuff like that. When I had the 11 inch new iPad Pro, I kind of felt the same way about that one. But then I went back to the 12.9 and you and I have the same generation, the same model of iPad now. And it's just, it's beautiful. It's such a great screen, such a great device. There's so much room. The keyboard is full size. It's not cramped or anything. It's just it's a great device. I'm very happy with it. You want to give us like a mini review of it or?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little late, but
yeah. Well, I mean, just your thoughts on it. I mean, you don't have to go into the like the chamfered edges or anything like that.
Let me tell you some of the things that I'm very happy with this new iPad that my old 10.5 either didn't have or didn't really support well enough. Split view, like I said before, it's fantastic. When I have two things in 50-50 mode, it's two full-size iPad apps, and it's really, really nice. I enjoy the heck out of that, as opposed to having like two large iPhone apps side-by-side in the 10.5, like... The 12.9 seems to be like the iPad when it comes to using like split view and stuff. If you were to use one in like 70-30 mode, it wouldn't be much of a difference between the 10.5 and the 12. So if you're just like using like Safari in the big screen and then you have like a reminders list or your task manager or whatever on the right side or whatever, that won't make much of a difference. You just have more room on the big app now. I enjoy that. I enjoy the unified gestures between my iPhone 10 and this iPad. Like not having a home screen is fantastic. I just know exactly how to get to things because I'm so used to the iPhone, and like there's no like readjusting between the iPad and my iPhone now, which I find very nice. Face ID is fantastic. I think Face ID works even better on this iPad than it ever will on the iPhone, just because when I'm using this, it's already in landscape mode. It's got a set fixture. It's got a set angle. It works just right for what I need. And man, like I can't get over the fact of like how beautiful this screen is too. Like it's not OLED, but damn, is it good. It's like I was watching some stuff on it from YouTube and some stuff on Netflix with it, and it sounds great. The speakers on this are fantastic, but it also just looks really, really clean. So, I mean, those are my takeaways in like the 4 days I've been using this. So it's been great.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great device, and I absolutely love mine. It's just such a, I don't know, it's everything that I could want in a portable computer. I mean, of course, there's a few things I'd want a little bit more of, but you know, that's we'll save that for a little later.
Yeah. I'm not the only one that bought things, though. I mean, you bought stuff too.
I bought an iPad as well. I bought the cheapest 9.7 inch iPad, just the generic one, because I came to the realization you can't get real work done on a 12.9 inch iPad Pro. So you know, eventually you'll realize that and get a 9. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
We're gonna get so many letters and tweets and stuff if you keep going this route, man.
Okay, hang on. Let me just explain what it is before anybody gets mad at me. No, I still have my 12.9 inch iPad Pro. It's sitting right in front of me. I love this thing. It's still my main computer. I had the same 9.7 inch iPad last year, and then I had like my weird like kind of like freak out moment and like sold a bunch of stuff. I got this for a few reasons. I started making a list of everything I needed to justify getting this iPad, and I said when I got a handful of things on this list, I would go ahead and buy it. The biggest reason why I wanted it is I have been kind of going on a social media purge. Deleted Twitter, Discord, all the stuff off my big iPad and my iPhone. All Instagram, all that stuff, it's gone off those devices. It's all lives on this small iPad now. And the small iPad, other than right now because I'm using it for recording, it is not allowed in my office whatsoever.
It's in timeout.
It's in timeout. There's actually two cases it can be allowed in my office. The first one is when I'm recording a podcast. And the other one is, the other reason why I really wanted it was when I'm recording B-roll for scripts and stuff like that. When I just had one device, I would have to switch to LumaFusion, listen to what I was saying, and then go in and record what it was and stuff like that. It was just such a pain. So what I did now is I have good notes on this thing with the script right next to me, so I can just go line by line hitting up what I need to record for B-roll and stuff like that, and it just makes it so much faster. My last two videos, the iPad video editing videos, plus the next one that'll be coming out here probably hopefully tomorrow, it's just been making things so much faster for me to just record because I have the script right next to me. And before anybody says, hey, why don't you just go buy a printer? I don't want a printer in my house. That is the last thing I want in my house.
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea of an iPad is that it's essentially a notebook and script, and like all the stuff that you need paper for can be on that, except for like tax documents and other things.
And the really nice thing is I still have my Gen 1 Apple Pencil, so I can still use that on this thing. So as I'm writing scripts, or I'm sorry, as I'm like recording B-roll for videos, I'm crossing off the stuff that I've been doing. So basically, this thing is for social media. It's to help me record the podcast so I don't have to use my phone anymore. It's also to help me record videos. And there's just a few other little things around the house that I've been using it for that just make it really nice to have a smaller iPad around here. The other thing, too, is WWDC is coming around the corner. That means we're going to be getting iOS 13 betas. And this one I have a really strong feeling it's going to be a heavy iPad release. Yay.
So it's that time, because it seems to be like a TikTok kind of release for the iPad stuff.
We'll get into more of that later. It's there's been enough rumors and things like that I'm pretty confident it's going to be a heavy iPad release, and I'm not going to install iOS 13 beta like 1 or 2 or even 3 on my main iPad. I will install it at some point over the summer, but I'm not going to install it right away. But I do need a device running it so I can, you know, talk about it and show it off and things like that. So that's why I bought this thing. It was on sale. I didn't pay the full price. All the cards kind of lined up perfectly, and I just went for it.
Yeah. So what's the storage on that?
It's the base one, so it's just 32 gigs. I don't have my photo library on here. I don't have my music library on here. I don't have anything on here that takes up a legitimate amount of space. I'm not doing any video editing on this thing. Though, fun fact, I did edit a test video on here because I was kind of curious to see how LumaFusion would handle on this deal. It worked like a champ. I mean, it's obviously not as fast as my iPad Pro, but at no point did it stutter. At no point was there any sort of weird buffering. I did turn the preview down from best to the average preview. On my iPad Pro, I can leave it at best, so it's it's playing back 4K in real time, things like that. And I don't know what the middle preview option does in LumaFusion, but it, you know, turns down the quality a little bit, I guess.
I would probably take an educated guess that most nonlinear editing stuff, they usually do half and quarter and eighth.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. It's probably, since most of my footage is in 4K, it was probably playing at a 1080p or something. But I don't know for sure. But honestly, this thing worked like a champ. It exported the videos. I didn't have any issues whatsoever. So if you're looking for a device to edit some video on, but you don't have a ton of money to spend, the base iPad is totally worth it. I probably wouldn't go with the 32 gig model because you're going to run out of space really quick. I'd probably go with the one up from that. I have no idea what that is. It's probably either 64 or 128. But it's a perfect device for editing video. The screen screen, though, like the screen itself is not really it's not really good. It's
nothing
fine
to write home about.
Yeah, it's fine, but when I have it sitting next to my 12.9 inch iPad Pro, it just looks ugly. It's very ugly. But you know, you're comparing a $329 computer to a almost, you know, I don't know what I paid for this one. It's the 256. I think that's like $1,200 or $1,300 computer. Like, it's not really a fair comparison. So,
no,
yeah, it's, but it's a great device, and I'm really happy with it. I'm really, yeah, this has been a cool thing to have around the house, and just, you know, kind of get all the social media distractions off my other two main devices and put them in one area. Its primary living place is on the coffee table in my living room. So, you know, when I'm watching TV or something, I can just pick it up and respond to whatever. But all the other distractions are off my big iPad and my iPhone now. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah, yeah. And the video editing thing, I always think back at Serenity Caldwell's video she did for iMore when the iPad came out just after the teachers or the event they had for like schools.
Yeah,
she did a really, really cool video on that. All of that was done with a base iPad, so it's cool to be able to like tell people, like, if you want a video application you like using the iPad, you don't need to spend thousands of dollars to do it. You can use the base iPad. The only thing that you would want with the bigger iPad is more storage, better screen, faster processor. Like, there's all like nice things you can get with it if you spend the extra money, but you don't have to if you don't have the means to or if you don't want to. So
yeah, and
that's kind
of
cool.
Speaking of LumaFusion really quick, this isn't in our doc, but at NAB, which is a big like video conference and stuff, this week they announced LumaFusion 2.0, and it's moving from three video tracks to six video tracks, and from three audio tracks to six video tracks, and there's a bunch of other improvements and stuff that I'm really excited for. Hopefully I'm gonna try and get like a on the beta or something. I don't know, I emailed them, hopefully I could try and get something so I can do a video about it when it comes out. I just thought it was funny timing, because literally the day before they announced it, I started my like everything you need to know about editing video on an iPad series, and like they announced it's like huge design overhauls, like it's a really big update. So I'm like, oh, this is poor timing on my part. So that series may be put on pause for just a little bit and wait for this to come out. I'll pick it back up, because that was really poor timing on my part. But yeah, I'm really excited about this new version of LumaFusion. I don't know if it's going to be a paid update or what. I had somebody actually email me and ask if it was going to be a paid update, and part of me, and I don't know, I don't work for them, I think I've talked to them like once and like kind of passing, like it was like an email, but it really wasn't like anything special. But if I kind of hope it is a paid update, to be honest, because I feel like I need to keep giving that application more money, because if that application ever goes away, I don't know what I'm going to do. Use Adobe Rush? Ugh. No, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, this sounds like something that we should probably have them on the show.
Yeah. Talk with them. There is a subscription thing in there, and I need to subscribe to it. In fact, I'll do it after we record. But basically, it's for like their they have like stock music, stock footage, stock sound effects and stuff like that that you can get. And I don't really have a need for it, but any way that I can kind of just give them money, I probably should just subscribe to it. I don't even know how much it is. It's probably like $10 a month. Usually that's what those like stock subscription deals are. So anyways, that's all besides the point.
That's not the only thing you bought though, Chris. What else did you buy?
Okay, so this other thing is I bought a new TV, so I've been saving up for a little while because I've had my old TV for probably almost like 8-9 years, and it was getting to the point where it needed an update. Like, it was taking like 2 minutes to turn on. Like, it was really getting bad. So it was end of life. So I'd been saving for a little while now, because I was like, this next TV I get, I'm gonna get like the TV I want to get. And I'm really into movies. Like, I really love watching movies. I really love having like the cinematic experience in the house. you know, there's people that disagree that feel like you shouldn't be having, like, movies are meant to watch in a theater. But I truly feel like if you care enough, you can make that cinematic experience in your house. So I bought the Vizio P-Series Quantum TV. It's the 65-inch model. And the reason why I bought this one is there's a bunch of reasons, mostly because in my price range, I had a price range in my head because I needed to get the TV, I needed to get the sound system and all that stuff put kind of together. I wanted to buy it all at the same time, so I had everything working and I got it set up the way I wanted to. And this was the TV that was in my price range. Doing all the research, it had like the nice LED backdrop or backlights, so the black levels are really, really good. And I specifically wanted to get it before today, actually, the day we're recording is the season premiere of the final season of Game of Thrones. So I wanted to get it before then because that's a very dark, heavy show. Like the blacks are really like it's a really dark show. So I wanted to get it before then. So I just kind of had a nice TV to enjoy it with. So, but another reason why I got it is this TV is going to be getting HomeKit and AirPlay 2 support. And Vizio actually just did the beta release. So I kind of put my phone on the developer program, signed up for the Vizio beta, got the firmware and stuff all downloaded. Talk about a scary thing, downloading beta software on a TV. I mean, I was really nervous. The only thing that gave me like a little bit of like that made me feel a little better was in the 3-month like no questions asked return window kind of thing. So I was like, well, if it breaks, I can always return it. So,
so can you get out of the beta or is it like
I don't know. I haven't tried. It's actually working great. I haven't had a single issue with it. It actually fixed an issue I had on the stable release of the firmware. But anyway, so now my TV has AirPlay 2 support and HomeKit support. So the AirPlay 2 support's kind of really cool. It's just like AirPlaying to an Apple TV. It shows up in the device list. I was watching a few movies this way. I haven't had a chance to go get a 4K Apple TV yet, so this was a way for me to watch my 4K HDR movies that are in iTunes without having to go get a 4K Apple TV.
Nice.
The one weird thing it does is it plays 1080p for about a minute, and then it'll bump everything up to 4K HDR. So it's super weird. I almost wish that there was just like a buffering period. Like if it really needed that, like just don't start the movie right away. Like let it buffer. Say, you know, put a loading something on the screen. But I guess, you know, 2019, like it would be weird if that was it, if there's like a loading screen on your TV to play a movie when most stuff, you know, you're watching Netflix, you hit the play button, it just starts playing and then it'll up the quality. Just me personally, like, because I know some, not everyone can tell the difference between 4K HDR and 1080p, but I dramatically can.
Well, it's also, it's like, it's the equivalent, because like I have a standard 1080p television right now. And like for you to go from like 1080p to 4K is a lot like me going from 240p to 10K. Like it's a huge difference.
Yeah.
When you do that. And like when you have 4K and like you have an eye for it and you really notice, like you notice the change because like things seem way crisper and way cleaner. Like that's the best comparison I can have. Like I have my parents, my mom is more so the culprit of this, but like she'll go to a television channel that like has an SD channel and an HD channel.
Oh no.
And instead of her going to the HD channel, she'll just go to the SD channel and then change the zoom settings
for
it to fit the screen. I have tried and failed multiple times to like get her to stop doing this. It's a losing battle, and you kind of just have to live with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have seen it happen in real time, and I'm just like, why are you watching it like this? What do you mean? And why am I watching it like this? Never mind. It's fine. It's fine. and then she'll go to the bathroom. I'll just change the channel, and she won't even notice. Like,
yeah. So what I was doing to fix this is I was starting the movie, pausing it, and like, you know, go get my snack or whatever, and then come back and then start it, and then it would take like a second or two, and then it would click over to 4K HDR. So hopefully this is just a beta thing, and it gets fixed to where it just starts playing 4K HDR right away.
Right.
There's also not really a way to specify, like, hey, no matter what, play at this resolution. If you have to pause and buffer, pause and buffer. There's not really a way to do that, so which is probably a good thing because most people aren't, you know, like if your movie was constantly pausing and buffering, it would be bad. But I'm a network admin. My network is fast. That being said, it's really cool. Like having AirPlay 2 on a TV is really cool. Like I can, if I'm listening to music, I can AirPlay to the HomePod that's in my office, and then I can AirPlay to the speakers, the sound system that's in the living room now, and I have music throughout the whole house and stuff like that. So that's really cool. The other thing this firmware update added was HomeKit support. So I can actually yell at Siri and say, hey, turn on the TV or turn off the TV or turn up the volume or whatever. And then I can also tell it to like just start playing something. So I can say, hey, start playing Blade Runner or whatever. And it'll just automatically just start playing it. It's so cool. It's so unbelievably cool. And then so since it's HomeKit support, you can make a scene with that and then tie that into shortcuts. So I have like a whole movie watching time it'll turn off all the lights in the house except I have one of those Philips Hue backlight like LED strips that goes behind the TV. So it turns that on and like kind of dims it to like a nice like nice color that goes with like the screen, and then it'll just turn on the Apple TV and stuff like that. So it's actually kind of cool the way it works. So I've just been having fun with it.
Yeah, I'm jealous. I still don't have anything in my household that's smart enough to be able to use like HomeKit or anything like that. I don't have a HomePod. I don't have any like lights that are smart. I don't have any smart switches or smart outlets or anything like that. Like I have a dumb household, Chris, is what I'm trying to say. So
honestly, you might be smart for having that. I mean, I've definitely gone overboard with the smart stuff. I'm in an apartment and I've replaced stuff I shouldn't have replaced. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Everybody be cool. Everybody be cool. Don't say anything.
I won't call your landlord. So like maybe when I get a house and stuff, I'll start considering that kind of stuff. But like I know myself well enough to know that if I start like buying this kind of stuff, like it's a lot like magic cards. You get like your first pack or whatever, and then you're just
that
like,
was
I
my
need
starting
more.
Point.
I
yeah,
I need to have the newest. Like I'll start with like Hue bulbs or something. And then I'll just be like, oh, this is cool. This is like the lights are really cool, but like, how can I make my audio even better? How can I make my television better? How can I automate or add HomeKit to certain like my light switches? Like, how can I turn how can I have it automatically set the bathroom lights? How can I have it automatically change things on my thermos? How can I have I know as soon as I start doing this, I'm gonna be like, all right, this is what I'm gonna save up all my money and spend it on this next thing for HomeKit. So. Yeah, once I get a house, I'll probably be a project I start playing around with.
And once you own a house, too, you can do some pretty cool things. Like, you can get smart fans and things like that. Like, there's a lot of really cool things you can do. To quickly just sum up the AirPlay 2 and HomeKit on a TV, it's really nice to have, but I don't think I would go out of my way to buy a TV with that kind of support. I think it's a cool feature, but honestly, if you own like an Apple TV or something, you'll probably just forget it exists. I have a feeling once I go and pick up a 4K Apple TV, I probably won't use the AirPlay 2 support anymore, and I probably will probably not use the HomeKit support thing very often, except for like my movie time shortcut. It's nice, but if you have a TV in mind, I wouldn't worry about it too much. And if you have an older TV, I wouldn't feel like you need to upgrade just because of this. If you're buying a TV already and your TV is going to support that, it's a great additional feature.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not like it's not a primary thing that you want, but if you find a TV that you like that has that, cool. All right.
Well, yeah.
That makes sense.
If you don't have the Apple TV, great. Go for it. But yeah, other than that. Should we move on to our main event?
Yeah. So this was your idea, Chris. So go ahead and kind of like just take it away and kind of explain what it is that we're doing here, because it's going to be kind of long, but I think it'll be fun to do. So like what are we doing?
So, okay. My thought was WWDC is coming up, and that means iOS 13 is right around the corner. Now, yep. Everybody does drafts and like what we expect to see and all that stuff. And that stuff's fine. But I think since everyone does it, it's usually kind of like the same picks from like all the podcasts and all the blogs and all the YouTubers and things like that. I want to take a different approach. I wanted Jeff and I to sit down and talk about the six things that we want the most. Not necessarily rumored, not necessarily going to be in any version of iOS 13, not even necessarily plausible. But these are the things we want to see the most in iOS 13. There's six of them, and we had to rank them. So the number one is the most important. Number six is the least important of the list. Now, I have six, but I also have a bunch that just didn't make the list. So we'll cover the ones that didn't make the list after we go through the six. But I figured you and I could just swap back and forth going number one, number two, and so on and so on.
Yeah, let's do that. So do you want to go from six to one, or do you want to go from one to six?
I wrote my list one to six.
Okay, let's do it that way then.
Okay, all right.
Since it was your idea, Chris, I'll let you go first.
Okay, all right. So my number one thing will probably actually be a surprise, because most people probably are thinking it's actually what my number two thing is going to be my number one thing, but my number one thing is actually my number
okay,
one
thing.
Okay,
let's get to the point. What's your number one thing?
It's better file support. So this is okay. A few things. I wrote some details with all these. So this should be a complete overhaul of the Files app. The Files app was a good... I wouldn't even say 1.0. Like, it was a good like beta of like what of the idea of kind of what we need.
But yeah, there proof needs to be concept.
Yeah, exactly. There needs to be a big push from Apple for third-party apps to adopt the Files app API. Like, if you do anything with files, you need to adopt the Files app API. So stuff like Ulysses or OneWriter or just anything that deals with files should adopt that Files app API. LumaFusion, okay. Like, it should be like Finder is on the Mac. Okay. There needs to be a cleaner way to make tags. Right now, the tag support is just not good at all. It's mm-hmm. It's very limited with your color choices, the way you can browse through them. It's just not good. Photos and videos, when they're being added to a device, whether it's from an SD card, they're being airdropped, whatever, it should just ask you where you want to save them. It could be an option, save them to files, save them to photos. If you hit save them to files, then it opens the Files app API and you pick where you want to save them. Number one, the other thing too, they need to fix the favorites. This favorite section needs to stop disappearing. Drives me nuts that it's been that way for 2 years now.
Yep. Yep.
Better local storage. So right now I have to use an app called Local Storage that makes a folder in the local store, the on my iPad section, so I can actually save stuff locally to my iPad. That you shouldn't need a third party app for that, though. It's a great third party utility. You shouldn't need a third party app to save stuff locally to your iPad, especially when they sell iPads with a terabyte worth of storage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Better background uploaders. I shouldn't have to leave the Files app open when I'm uploading a gig file or file that's really large. I shouldn't have to leave it open to make sure it actually uploads. I should drop it in there and I should feel confident enough that it's going to upload.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even consider that, but I forget that you have to do that in order for it to work properly.
I mean, technically, like, if it's a small file or something, it works, but I have a feeling there's probably some sort of crash or something that's happening when it's a bigger file. At least for me, I've never been able to get a big file to upload in the background successfully. I've always had to leave the Files app open.
Yeah.
And then the last thing is external storage support, both physical and network shares. So I should be able to plug external hard drives or like flash drives or something into the side of my iPad. It has USB-C. Like, I wouldn't even need an adapter. Like, I have plenty of hard drives and stuff that I should just be able to plug into the side of this thing and access. And the network storage is I should be able to browse to a network share, whether that's SMB or whatever. Like, I should be able to browse to a path and put in some credentials and be able to pull up a network share. Like, that seems like that's a no-brainer. So that's my number one pick.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. That is that's actually my number two pick, and like, it has all the same points as you had, and you had some extra ones that I threw in as well. So like, my biggest thing is that I want to be able to like plug in an external hard drive and just be able to drag and drop files from that into my iPad or vice versa. So I can offload my storage without having to make sure that I have it connected to the correct cloud storage device, or have it like have the correct files in iCloud in the right file structure I want, or like have it in Dropbox. It's difficult for me to like take stuff from the Dropbox files into like my device or iCloud folders, like for whatever reason that just doesn't work. Every time I try and do it, it either like doesn't allow for it to happen, or like it crashes or something like that happens, where I can't take things from Dropbox into iCloud and I can't put things from iCloud into Dropbox. They're two very separate things. While they're in the same app, they don't talk to each other, and I think that needs to be addressed.
Yep.
My number one pick is an indicator in which what app is live in split screen mode.
I am
desperate since I got this new iPad. I've been using a lot more split screen stuff because it just feels right. But like for whatever reason, I have a 50-50 chance of like having the correct app open without me knowing it, as far as like what the keyboard is connected to. So for instance, let's say I have Drafts 5 on one side and like Things 3 in another. And I hit Command N, which is either a new note in Drafts 5 or a new task in Things 3. If I hit Command N and I want to put a new task in Things 3, it completely wipes away the note that I'm working on right now, makes a new one. And there's no way for me to know which one it is that's working. Either I have to like physically touch the app I want to use and like interact with it with some kind of way or whatever. Like you just can't do it. And sometimes when I do Command Tab to like switch between apps, because the two are in split screen, they're not always both in the Command Tab like window where it shows the active applications you can switch to. So it's an entirely painful process for me to just kind of make sure that I'm using the correct application with the keyboard in split screen mode. And it's one of the most frustrating things for me when it comes to my iPad use and my iPad experience, is that I wish I could do it, fix this somehow. And I think whether it is like a quick little pop-up of like what app it is that's being used, like a little light animation that like will indicate it, or something along those lines, to where it will have the outline and like have a border around it, or like a slight change in tone of between the apps, or something like some sort of indicator that is not intrusive for the user experience, but also indicates like this app is live, this one is not, this one is like active, this one's in like a view mode, you know. Some sort of indication for that would make my life really, really easy on the iPad. It would make things a lot easier. And I know other people have mentioned this before and they like want that to be a thing, but that's my number one pick for the iPad in iOS 13.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. That one didn't really occur to me, because I don't know why. I don't have the issue of realizing which one is active. Maybe it's because I've been on the iPad for so long, like I've just gotten used to that. Uh-huh. I don't know. I didn't even think about that one. But that is a good one. That is something that should be addressed.
Yeah, and so just to reiterate, my number two, just so we can skip past it, we can go to your number two, is just the Files app integration again. So what was your second pick, Chris? It sounds like it was a definitely on Chris brand kind of pick.
Pro apps. I mean, I've been yelling about this since I got the iPad Pro. It's past time. Final Cut, Logic, and Xcode come to the iPad. I could see Xcode taking a little bit longer because there's a lot that goes in that, but at least Final Cut and Logic, it's past time. Now, I'm counting this as iOS 13, even though those would be standalone apps, because I'm sure there's some API work that needs to be done on like AV Foundation or whatever. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that would probably have to happen in iOS before that was actually able to ship. But yeah, it's about time for that. Apple needs to show that professionals can get work done, because I'm tired of having to argue in my YouTube comments about how I actually do work on my iPad and it actually is possible. So yeah, Apple needs to kind of step up their game, because you know the handful of people, or not even a handful of people, but the people that are doing real work on the iPad or doing professional level like video work, photography work, whatever, like blogging, whatever, you know. know, it can't hold down the fort forever. So Apple needs to show that it can be done.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think that they need to do that. So here's my question with this is that do you think all three of those come first, or do you think it's like a slow addition, like one app comes, like Logic comes first, then Final Cut, and then Xcode? Like how do you?
In my perfect world, all three should come out at the same time.
Oh, in a realistic world, then.
Realistic world, I think you actually had the order right. I think it's Logic, Final Cut, then Xcode. Because I think the big deal is there's a lot of audio stuff that has to go in both to Logic and Final Cut, but there's also a lot of video stuff that has to go into Final Cut and a lot of like effects and things like that. So I could see them doing Logic first because... simpler is probably the wrong word, but there's less involved with just an audio editor as opposed to a video and audio editor, if that makes sense, right? I think Logic would probably be easier to do first than Final Cut, than Xcode. So I could see them doing that. I could also see Logic and Final Cut coming out 1 year and then a year or two later, Xcode coming out. So we'll see. Yeah. But I think it's past time that those actually come out to the iPad because they really do. They need to be here.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I would be elated to see one of those three apps kind of be like not just like miniature versions of like full-fledged actual versions of these applications that are built for the iPad and iOS that allow for you to be to use pro applications on the iPad and have it be supported by Apple and everything else. But
yeah, I had my conspiracy theory when the latest iPad Pros were announced. It was at that Music Academy in Brooklyn, I think. Yeah, sure. I was like, oh, Music Academy, iPad event. That means Logic for the iPad. And I got all excited, and no, it didn't happen. So we'll have to wait for something else to happen for me to come up with a crazy conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I have one, and we might get to it, but we'll see.
Okay, all right.
What's your number three?
My number three is multi-stream audio support. Basically, this is really simple. I want to be able to have a Skype call and record my local audio at the same time. Also, the ability for Ferrite to keep recording while in the background.
Yep.
So right now, I don't know if this is a Ferrite issue or if this is a API issue on Apple side or what, but if you close Ferrite while you're recording, it stops recording. So... I want to be able to have Ferrite record my local audio in the background, and I want to be able to have a Skype call in the background while still having other apps in split view. I don't think it's too much to ask for, but, you know, I maybe I'm wrong.
My number three is a refresh of the Reminders app. This has been something I've been thinking about a long time, ever since Tim Nahumek posted a fantastic post about his reimagining of Reminders. And we'll have a link to it in the show notes. But I think if Reminders were to get things like tags, start dates, projects within certain lists, and kind of allow for it to be a much more robust task manager as opposed to just like, remind me to do this thing, like, you know, remind me to get the milk at the grocery store when I arrive at the grocery store kind of thing. If they add things that are more robust and allows for more organization, I would completely try it out. And probably stick with it because A, Reminders is built in. It's a first-party application, so Shortcuts works great for it. And there's nothing that you need to like make sure works with it or not. Like the Shortcuts team has great Reminders stuff into it right now, and I'm sure if they were to revamp Reminders, they would add that stuff into it either on launch day or shortly after with a update to the Shortcuts app. But also, I think that if I am able to just use Reminders, with these added features, it would solve all of my problems when it comes to task managers right now, and it would allow for me to just be able to start keeping all my things very easily captured and be able to organize it in a much more preferred fashion, as opposed to using apps like GoodTask or Memento, which are built off of like the Reminders like framework, but like they are adding stuff to it that Reminders doesn't have. Like I think if Reminders were to kind of do something like what GoodTask is doing and kind of offer the same kind of stuff, it would be worlds, like all of my problems with task managers would probably end, but who knows, maybe I'm wrong. But yeah,
I think you would still find a way to want to switch task managers every week.
You know, it's a thing that I have to work on, and I talked a little bit about it in the latest episode of Getting Caught Up, and you know, if you want to like listen to that, it's a good talk, and it kind of led me to do something kind of silly that I haven't really discussed publicly yet, but you know, after that's done, we'll get into it. But yeah, that's my number three. What about four for you now?
Yeah, so this one's kind of rumored already, but I would like to have side-by-side same app support. So you know how in Safari you can drag the tab over and you can have two Safari windows side-by-side? Yes. So my big issue right now is whenever I'm like doing stuff in text documents and stuff like that, I have to have two different text editors in order to see like my two different text documents side by side. I have to have two different apps for that, and it just drives me nuts. Like, I just want to have it all in drafts, so let me just, you know, take my drafts, put one over here and one over there. But right now I have to use like IA Writer and drafts together, or like One Writer and IA Writer, so it just depends on where stuff's saved. Drives me nuts. So
yeah,
I'd very much like to just to like to have them side by side, and I think that would be really, really handy to have.
Oh, for sure, yeah, that'd be great to have, and like to allow for like actual multitasking without having to use two separate apps and to use one app. Like if you're in like focus mode, like for me, I can see this definitely being a thing. Like if I write all of my blog posts in Ulysses, and if I'm able to have draft one of Ulysses on my left and then start working on draft two if I want to like make changes, or if I'm like editing things and I want to see the difference in between my two drafts, like I can have them both next to each other and not have to flip through or like copy the markdown into like Byword and have it side by side like you were mentioning. I think if we have that, it would be fantastic.
Yeah, I think that would be really nice. So what's your number four?
My number four is a redesigned home screen, which is also kind of rumored already. I think the home screen needs to be refreshed to allow for like more apps on the screen, especially with like the iPads and the bigger screens, because I'm looking at my home screen on my iPad and I feel like there's a lot of dead space that, you know, could be fixed. Or you could have widgets on it. So instead of like having just the widgets on, I forget what they call it, the notification center or something like that. Like you can slide over on the left, or you can swipe down and like get your, I can't remember the terminology, but you know what I'm talking about. Like there's
today
like a
view.
Widget area. Yeah.
The today view.
Yeah. So I would like to be able to offer the today view to stay there, but also be able to put widgets on the home screen. Like if I wanted to put my shortcuts widget on the home screen, I could do that, and it would be interesting to kind of like be able to do that, because I can update what widgets are on my shortcuts list, but without having to rearrange all of my applications and stuff like that. I think that would solve a lot of issues for a lot of people, to where they can have like their Fantastical view in a widget on the home screen, or you know, something along those lines, or the battery indicators, or you know, if you're able to put widgets other than just on the home screen or on the today view. I think that would be really cool to have. I think it would make customization a lot more user friendly, and one of the biggest things that like back in the day when it was still Android versus iOS of like, oh, but Android has like widgets and you can do all these crazy things with the home screen, where with the iPhone and iPad you kind of have the ability to add applications and folders, but that's it. So it'd be kind of fun to sort of see Apple change up the home screen a little bit and offer widgets or allow for you to have more applications on the screen, and maybe even remove the name of the application under it, because that is always difficult, especially if you have an app that uses like emojis or something like that as one of their like naming features on the app name. You know what I mean? It'd be nice to sort of see that. So a redesigned home screen is on my list for number four.
It's funny you picked that, because I've been thinking about that a lot. And out of all the stuff that's kind of rumored for iOS 13 and for the iPad, I think that's the thing I care the least about. Because I was thinking about like what could they add to the home screen that would actually help me and like benefit me in a meaningful way. And yeah, widgets on the home screen or more apps would be nice. But I've been like, you know, let's fix that Files app. That's the thing I want. So
yeah, but I mean, this is just low hanging fruit for them. You know, they've already got everything there. They just need to add the option to be able to put it on the home screen. That's all they need to do. It's like, it's
well,
really
I think it's
fruit.
A little more involved in that, because Springboard is so old that I imagine there's probably a lot of stuff in it that would have to be rewritten in order to support widgets or anything like that. I imagine there's probably some heavy stuff involved into that.
Possibly. But I mean, Springboard was always the catalyst for things like Cydia or other jailbreaking options to be able to use. So, I mean, Springboard has allowed for those kind of things to happen. Granted, it was with a jailbroken iPhone, and I don't recommend anybody ever do that for security reasons. Also, it could probably break your phone if you don't know what you're doing. But like that's my argument, is that like it's been around for a while on jailbroken devices, and that was always built off of Springboard. That's how they always added stuff to it. So,
okay, so my number five is Shortcuts 3.0. I want a few things in this. I want easier ways for third-party apps to make integrations, not Siri shortcuts, but like, okay, so if you open up Shortcuts and search things or Todoist or whatever, there's built-in actions from third-party apps, and this was brought over from the workflow days. This was not something that was new in Shortcuts. This was something that was brought over. But I love to see Apple like open up some sort of program or something, like, hey, submit your app for this or something like that, because I think those native shortcuts just work so much better than the Siri shortcuts. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I've had like the Siri shortcuts disappear in the past, or they just stop working, or I get an error message with them. Something a little more native, I think, would be great. Have some sort of program or something to work with third-party apps to do that. The other thing I want to see is time and location-based shortcuts. So when I get home, run a shortcut. When I get to my office, run a shortcut. At 6 a.m., run a shortcut. No matter what. Like, I think that'd be really nice to have. I could see why they wouldn't do that. I could also see why they would do that. I don't know. There could be some privacy issues in there. Maybe those wouldn't be able to be shared. Like location-based shortcuts wouldn't be able to be shared or something to other people. I don't know. That's for smarter people than me to figure out. The other thing I want is ask for input from Siri. So when you're talking, so when you get Siri to run a shortcut, if there's an ask for input action, it kicks you over to Shortcuts. I just like Siri to say, hey, what's the answer to this question? And you verbally give it to her. And then better file support as well. So this goes back to my number one. I should not, when I'm sending something to Dropbox, I should not have to watch a progress bar for like it being uploaded. Like, just send it to Dropbox and let that go in the background.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or iCloud or whatever. Just let it do its thing in the background. Don't make me watch a progress bar. It's a waste of my time.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Not to roll back in the shortcut, but like, remind me if this is still an issue or if this has been addressed or not. But like, because when Siri shortcuts came out, there was two things. There was the app, and then there was the framework built into iOS itself where you could like have voiced shortcuts to use. Is that still the case where you have to like use that kind of shortcut a few times in order for it to show in the Shortcuts app? Or has there been ways for developers to offer those shortcuts to be implemented into the Shortcuts app after one use? Like, has that been addressed?
I mean they work after one use, or at least they've always have for me. Maybe a few of them didn't or something. But
see, Toggle was my biggest reason where it just wouldn't show up, because like I would start a task in Toggle or a timer in Toggle, and then it wouldn't show up in my Shortcuts thing when I would search for Toggle until after like four or five times I would start and stop, and that would finally show up in Shortcuts. So like that was like, you know, a lot like the Files app. Like, I think Shortcuts and Siri Shortcuts especially was like a good implementation and addition for iOS, but I think if they were able to add some sort of API or a way for us to be like, I want this specific action, this specific app that the developer has created and allowed support for, to be automatically imported as an option into Shortcuts, that I think would be easier for Apple to implement than for them to have to curate and choose from all the submissions like they do with the App Store. I think that would make things a lot easier. That's my two cents.
There's a lot of ways it could be done. I don't know. I think the current way is a great 1.0, but there needs to be more. So hopefully there's another shoe to drop, and hopefully it's this year. Yeah. So what's your number five?
My number five, and similar to the Pro Apps thing that you said, but I want a prosumer audio editing suite for podcasting on the iPad. GarageBand is fine for like making music and just like playing around, but I would like it to either GarageBand or Logic to be implemented into iOS for it to be a podcasting editing solution. Ferrite, I'm not poo-pooing Ferrite. Ferrite is great. I edit podcasts on it a lot. I edit getting caught up on my iPad with Ferrite all the time. I love it. But I would like to see GarageBand or Logic to be added into the iPad as an option for editing audio for like podcasting. There have been videos and different indicators that like Apple is like on the podcasting bandwagon still. They still really like podcasts. They have a podcasting team there to work with the podcast app. Like, they've got great people there and they've got great ideas. But I think if they really want to allow for people to like start podcasting and doing these things, they need to offer a way for, A, like you said earlier, to have multiple streams of audio being able to be used at once, and then also being able to take that audio that you've recorded and edit it in a way that isn't solely on a third-party app. That is the only reason that they're still in the App Store is that they're either making money or that it's not taking up all of their time. And much like with your case with LumaFusion, if this app of Ferrite goes away, I don't know what I would do as far as editing podcasts on an iPad. Like, I have no other options. And it would be nice to just have the option of going from Ferrite to something else. At least that way, there's the ability to allow for, if one fails, the other one's still there.
That's very much like the Pro Apps. I think if they did do some sort of Logic on the iPad, hopefully it would be reworked with not just music in mind, but with podcasting as well.
Yeah. And this is where my conspiracy theory kind of comes into play, Chris, because my final pick is dark mode for iOS. I would like to see what they've done with Mojave and to offer it as an option in iOS to have a full-fledged dark mode where you don't have to do adaptive dark mode or whatever, where adaptive, I think
inverted colors with like the smart invert on or something, I think is what it's
something
called.
It's great for accessibility, and I think if people need it for accessibility purposes, it's great. I want it for an aesthetic purpose. I would like to see dark mode to be able to be like a themed option, where if you have it turned on to dark mode, all the apps will be moved over to dark mode if they add support or, you know, whatever. Like macOS Mojave has that, and I really enjoyed it. Here's my conspiracy, Chris. And if you go back and look into the invitations for WWDC, there's one commonality between all of the invitations that got sent out. There's like four or five of them. They're all dark with like neon and like dark mode colors to accent it.
Hang on. To be fair, though, that's been that way for like the last 3 years or 4 years.
I want to believe, Chris. Just let me believe.
I think you're right. I think it's actually going to be this year. I think it's going to be this year. But I wouldn't rely on the invitations as proof because they've been dark mode for like the last few years. And everybody's been saying, oh, because the invitations dark mode's coming to iOS.
Yeah.
This actually made it on my this made it to the what didn't make my list. And the only what I really want to see out of this is the idea of having a common dark mode color. So right now, take two apps that have two different dark modes next to each and put them next to each other, they're gray or black or whatever colors are dramatically different. I rarely find an app with the same color for dark mode as another app. So I would very much like to see a common like color scheme for dark mode.
Yeah. It would be nice to see that. I mean, that would be a good first step, or at least like to offer some sort of documentation of like, if you want to add a dark mode to your application, these are the recommended settings that you put in, or the recommended colors, or whatever you want to call it.
For the HIG, you know, here's dark mode for iOS, basically.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be nice to do it that way. I feel bad for all the developers that already have their own implemented dark mode, and then you know places like Google Docs and stuff like that will take forever to get it, so it'll just be weird.
I doubt Google Docs would even do it.
Maybe eventually. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe. They did split view eventually.
What's your final pick, Chris? Because
my last one kind of goes off out on a limb here. It's better desktop support. So let me explain what this means. Huh. I think the iPads should be some sort of there should be some sort of dock for the iPad, not a physical dock, but the ability to make a dock. I think external monitor support would be really cool, but it's kind of useless right now, other than like a couple of apps. Like LumaFusion is getting really good external monitor support. If you're watching a movie or something, external monitor support's there. But if there was, you know, plug an external monitor into my iPad with either a USB dock or just plug a USB-C cable right into the side of it and have you know, USB ports on the back end and let that charge my iPad. And then have like an external keyboard and I'm gonna say it, mouse support. I don't think iOS has to have a mouse. I really don't. I don't think it has to. One, I would like everyone to stop commenting, or not everyone, but a large chunk of people that don't use the iPad, I would like them to stop commenting on my videos telling me I actually can't do real work on an iPad because there's no mouse, because that's really annoying. So I'd like those comments to stop. So let's bring mouse support to the iOS just because of that. But also, I would very much like to see it, see some sort of like dock mode. Like, this is a great portable computer, but if I was to, if I was to have the ability to have an external monitor, an external keyboard, an external mouse, and then all I did when I got to my desk was plug my iPad in and all that stuff just turned on and kicked on and paired, that would be pretty cool. And then, you know, the pointer, all it doesn't have to be anything special. It could literally just act as a finger. You could make swipes and all that stuff with it. You could hold down the button and make your gesture swipes and all that stuff. I think it would be really cool. I think it would be a really good idea to have some sort of like dock mode for that. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably not going to happen, but this isn't a list of things we think are going to happen. This is a list of things I would like to see happen. So, no, I don't want an iMac. I like my iPad, but I would like to turn my iPad into some sort of iMac. For the rest of the list, because this isn't on our official list, because we were just doing six picks, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you just run through yours really quick and I run through mine really quick?
Sure. Yeah. So let's do lightning round here.
Yeah.
I want a better volume indicator. I don't want this big gray screen taking up my entire screen real estate on my iPhone and a large part of my iPad. It needs to be up on the status bar, or like do what some of the third party apps are doing, where they offer a better volume control where it's either at the top, like with Instagram and Snapchat, or it's in the upper left hand corner on like the iPhone 10, where it covers the time instead does the volume instead. Like, there have been third party applications that offer a much better solution to the volume indicator than what Apple offers out of the box. Like, there have been applications that do this. Why can't Apple just make this decision to do a more minimal UI when it comes to volume indicators? Like, that's what I want. I want a better podcast app. I want something that's a little bit more robust, because as much as I love Overcast and everything, there are a lot of people that I have gotten into podcasting that they feel that they're kind of only stuck with only having like 10 to 15 podcasts in their podcast app, because after a while it gets kind of cumbersome and there's no real like easy settings to do so, and I tell them to use another application. They go, well, I don't want to. And if they want to go all in on podcasting, they need a better podcasting app. Keyboard shortcuts for commands within the iPad to allow for split view to be put together without having to drag and drop. I get zombie arm once in a while, or Frankenstein arm, whatever you want to call it, because I'll look up an application in Spotlight, but then I had to like hold my finger there and then drag it over. If I could just do like shift command right and shift command left to like have that application highlighted, because you can do all of that right now where you can like highlight the application and press enter to open it. Instead of pressing enter, I'd like to do like shift command left, shift command right, and it puts it in split view with whatever application's already open. A mail redesign with added features for sharing emails outside of the mail app and better keyboard shortcuts would be nice. And finally, a more robust notes app to offer better shortcuts and keyboard commands and better file folder structure support, because you can only have one tier of folders right now in the notes app for the iOS, but you can have subfolders in macOS. And I think that's one of those things that Apple just hasn't been able to fix that would be easy for them to do. And I think that if they want to have unified applications like this, which is what they're kind of heading towards in 2020 with Marzipan or whatever they want to call it, if they want to have unified applications, they don't need to simplify. They should improve what application is sort of falling behind and make them unified. And like, those are my last minute picks. Those are the ones that didn't make my list, but I think are needed for iOS later on.
Yeah, that's a good list. I'll run through my list here really quickly. First, a more robust backup support. Let me do something like Backblaze or something like that, because the iCloud backup, I don't like. I want some sort of like file and folder backup so that I can restore specific files and not have to restore a whole device.
Yeah, yeah. Or desktops. Time Machine would be really cool.
Yeah. Desktop Safari, I think this one rarely affects me, but when it does, it's kind of annoying to have to go over to iCab. Give me, you know, don't let websites try and load the mobile version, and don't, you know, let give me some sort of like download manager. I put dark mode on this one. Basically, it's on my didn't make my list kind of thing, because it doesn't really affect my ability to use iOS. But I would like to have a consistent like dark theme throughout all of iOS. Turn off the ability for the three suggested apps in the dock, but allow me to put three more apps down there. That one's yes. kind of petty, but I rarely use the suggested apps, but I would much rather have three more apps of my choice down there. Three apps side by side. There is a concept video going around the internet somewhere. I'll have to see if I could find it for the show notes. But basically, the idea is you could put three apps side by side and they would all be the iPhone view, plus slide over still. So that would be kind of cool. So you could have three apps so you can really reference stuff. I wouldn't use that all the time, but it could be just handy as like as just kind of a thing have the ability to use.
Yeah.
Redesign Springboard. This was the thing that we kind of talked about earlier with widgets and files. It doesn't affect my ability to use iOS anyway. The one thing that I could see being really handy is have some sort of shelf app or something like built right into the desktop, so I could just drop files right there and store them temporarily. A better native PDF viewer. Preview is not very good. There's not a whole lot into preview, and with like PDF stuff, it would be really handy to have like a good native PDF viewer. Ability to set default apps for files. Right now, it's kind of weird how it works. Like all my text documents are associated with codecs. So if I open the files app and browse to a text document and I tap on them, it'll open up in codecs and not something like pretext or drafts or IA Writer. Yeah. Like, give me the ability to say what that's supposed to open in.
Yeah. Real quick, there's a really good workaround right now. If you use an app called Yoink or Gladys, they're like shelf apps. And I think Gladys is better at this than Yoink last I tried, but I haven't used it in a while. But you can actually say what app you want to open it up with. So
yeah, but then you have to drag it there, and then you got to delete it out of there. It's
right,
it's,
right.
I'm not happy with that.
I understand that, but like, if people are like, yeah, that is a good problem, I have a solution for that one for right now, or a workaround or a Band-Aid, whatever you want to call it. But it would be nice to have Apple really implement it to be able to choose open with this application as opposed to like whatever the files app says.
Yeah. Ability to import MP3s into music. It's so weird that you can't import music into the music app. So strange. Mm-hmm. And then the built-in productivity apps like Mail, Calendar, Reminders get some love because they have not received any updates in a very long time. So they used to be, at least on the Mac, those apps used to be like the standard for like what a Mail app, what a Calendar app, and what a Reminders app should be. And now they're like, oh, here's the basic functionality of what these apps should be. But really, they're not even a good standard anymore. So, they need a good update.
What I'm going to do is actually go on Rocket Panda. I'm going to put all of our our things together in a list. And if people want to keep track of it when WWDC happens, I know I will be. And if something, if like one of our things happened, that'd be great. We're not going to do like a point system or anything like that, but it'd be fun to kind of see, you know, of the things that we feel like we need in iOS, which ones came, who got more right, or, you know, who got more of what they wanted. It would be fun to kind of see that happen. So it's going to be on Rocket Panda. Link will be in the show notes. If you want to get show notes and everything else, you can go to aslaboglass.com and you can find all of our latest episodes and the show notes there, or you can find it in your podcast player. Chris, if people want to find you on the internet, where can they do so?
You can find my work at theuntitledsite.com. There's a link to my YouTube channel over there as well.
Sweet. And you can find me over at rocketpanda.net, where I do all of my writing. And I have some new things coming up. They'll probably be out by the time we post this episode. But I am doing a new posting schedule of Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, where every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I will put something up on Rocket Panda. You know, rain, sleet, or snow, something will go up there. That's my new thing that I'm doing with consistency. More on that will be in the show notes as well. And you can find me over at Twitter at I am Jeff Perry. Chris, we'll see you in 2 weeks, and thank you everyone for listening.